Last week, we talked about the mission of the church, and we looked at the early church as it speaks of in Acts. And we read this scripture, but today I'm going to read it from a different translation. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. The believers form a community. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. As I said earlier, Karen couldn't be with us this morning, but I thought that I would touch just on a little bit of what we've just read, and then a bit later on we'll get together to talk a little bit more about the community of the church. So over the past weeks we've celebrated Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Jesus. In that upper room where they were gathered, the Holy Spirit came in power, and immediately they began to speak in the languages of the other nations. God's promise to bless all the nations of the world through the Israelites was now in motion. Whereas once the people of the world had been scattered and given different languages, God was drawing people back to himself. Now there was a universal language being spoken, the language of love, forgiveness, and restoration. Now everyone, both Jew and Gentile, who called upon the name of the Lord would be saved. The message and mission of the church was established. The message and mission to proclaim this good news, the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Through the atoning death of our Saviour Jesus, freedom is secured for all who repent and seek forgiveness of their sins. Hallelujah! There's salvation in Christ's name, and our relationship with our Father and Creator is fully restored. Do I hear any amens? The Lord sent his Spirit to empower his people to proclaim boldly this good news, and many were added to their number each day. In fact, it was an amazing amount of people that were added to their number each day as they boldly proclaimed the good news of salvation. The early church grew rapidly and thrived, and they established an amazing community devoted to learning and growing together. They met together every day to worship and praise God. They fellowshipped with one another and they ate meals together. They cared for each other, generously sharing with those who had less than they did. And one of the things that really struck me was they devoted themselves to prayer. And last week I said, do we devote ourselves to prayer? And I challenged us to join together for prayer on Tuesday night. And praise God, we had some extra people join us for prayer on Tuesday night, and it was really encouraging. And we thank God for that, because there is power in prayer. In Thessalonians, we read, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I really like the way the Passion Translation puts it. It says, make your life a prayer. Make your life a prayer. We are told in James chapter 5 that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of godly believers. But what is prayer? Some people are a little maybe confused by prayer. They're not really sure if they're doing it right. But actually there is no formula to praying, because prayer is simply just talking to God. Talking to God like you might talk to a close family member or a friend. Because God created everyone to be in relationship with Him, and He loves to hear from each and every one of us. And God makes Himself known to us as we reach out to Him with an open heart. In prayer, we can praise God for who He is, thank God for what He has given us, ask Him for forgiveness, seek His help, or simply tell Him what's on our heart. God just loves to hear from us, however we come to Him. And as I said before, there's no set way to pray. But we can learn a little about prayer, a lot about prayer, from Jesus. Remember, Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever. Amen. This prayer that Jesus taught shows us that prayer is relational. It's about talking to God, our Father. And we also pray not for what we want, but for what we need, what God knows that we need. Sometimes we think we need things, and God says, no, Glenda, you don't need that, you need this. That just happens. But we pray that God's will would be done, not ours, but that God's will would be done, and that God would give us just what we need, and He promises to do that. That prayer also addresses the problem of our sin, and we can ask in confidence and God will forgive our sins. But it also reminds us that we need to have an attitude of forgiveness towards others. And it's also a prayer of praise, restating who God is. You know how when you were young and you really fell in love with someone, and in the old days, you know, you used to write letters. Didn't send emails in those days. You used to write letters. So you write letters to your loved ones and you told them how wonderful they were and how they made you feel. Well, that's what we do with God. When we establish a relationship with Him, we want to tell Him how much He means to us. And as I say, it doesn't have to be in a lot of words. It can be, God, I thank You for all that You've given me. God, I thank You that You're there for me today. Be with my kids, be with my family. There's no set formula, but yes, we can establish that relationship. We address our problem of sin and we ask for forgiveness and also forgive others. And we praise God for who He is and acknowledge Him for His greatness. Now, prayer often ends with amen, or amen, however you pronounce it. And what does that mean? That you agree. Let it be so. So you can be in a group of people who are praying, like on a Tuesday night. You might not feel comfortable with praying out loud, but you can just be there. And at the end, you can say amen, because it's your heart that's joining with others. We can pray anywhere, anytime. Some people find it helpful to go to a quiet place, like a beach. Some people find it helpful to come inside a church. Sometimes we like to close our eyes, because closing our eyes is a mark of respect, but it also helps us to avoid the distractions around us. Sometimes there are people who like to just light a candle when they pray. Sometimes we use pre-written prayers. Sometimes we like praying while we're walking, you know, going for a walk, praying, informal, chatty prayer with God. Oh, God, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do today. It's one of those days at school. you know, the kids were a bit grumpy yesterday, what am I going to do today? You know, that kind of thing. It's a chatty prayer, it's an informal prayer. As I said before, prayers can also be quick. We call them arrow prayers. Have you prayed an arrow prayer? Oh God, please help me right now to find the right words to say. Those kind of prayers. We can say it out loud or we can say it silently because we know that God hears our thoughts. In group settings, prayers are often said out loud, as I said before, so everyone can benefit. And as I said before, sometimes we can just simply join in and say amen in agreement because there is a great unity and strength in praying together as a group. And I believe that those early apostles and believers, their prayer was the means, not just their prayer, but their prayer was certainly the means of giving them the boldness to go and reach others. And also God answers our prayers. He's faithful. People were willing to listen to them and people were willing to accept because they prayed first. So prayer's important. God is our Father and he wants what's best for us. We can come boldly and freely into his presence, asking according to his will, confident that he's listening and knowing that what we've asked for is as good as ours. Yeah? So we can come boldly and freely, asking according to his will, confident that he's listening and knowing that what we've asked for is as good as ours. So my prayer for each and every one of us as we've been through this season of Pentecost, my prayer is send your spirit, capture our attention so that we may hear your voice, awaken our faith, give us courage and hope to face change. Come, renew us, your people. Come, renew your church. Unite us, we pray. Amen. God bless you.